Drinking and driving is a decision that could change your whole world. Things will never be the same if you ever get a DUI. Because legal fees and time in court are just the beginning. Getting into a crash is another way that your world can be turned upside down. Your vehicle may not be the only thing that gets damaged in that crash. You can face a life-altering injury or even death. But you're not the only one that can face those consequences. Your decision to drink and drive can permanently impact not just your world, but someone else's world as well. Whether you injure them or leave their loved ones grieving. The next time you're out drinking, call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or a designated sober driver. The only decision that will change your world for the better is the decision to call for a sober ride. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
You're listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, now part of the ChairShot Radio Network, on thechairshot.com. Remember, always use your head.
You look like a dude who should be pumping my fucking gas.
This isn't doing it for me. I'm not getting enjoyment out of this.
He was a before the bell rings all-star.
All right, everybody. It is Thursday night, December 12th, 2024. My God, we are halfway through December. This year has flown by. It is almost over. You are listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, part of the ChairShot Radio Network. You can find us on thechairshot.com, where we remind you and encourage you to always use your head. You can also find us on all your favorite podcasting platforms. Just look up the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. I am DJ, the man with the award-winning and holy beard. I'm going to go around the room and introduce this cast of characters like I do each and every week. Starting off with the resident high flyer of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, he hails from the Purple Haze in Cloud 9. He is Bucky's tag team partner, a man destined to go through a barbershop window. Jason, sir, how are you?
Hello, everyone. It is wonderful to be back.
Excellent. Glad to have you. And from the Rob the Genius podcast, the host of that podcast, he is the minister of truth, the father of facts and figures, the deacon of data, the official shoot bear of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. He is Ray Cash's daddy and the man with the golden shovel. Mr. Rob, sir, how are you?
All right, good to be back as always.
Always good to have you. We've got a busy, busy show this week. I'm glad everybody's having a rough week. Not having a rough week like I am. I can't even get through it. I need more alcohol. I've got my whiskey set up. I had a long talk with the guys in the kickoff show. I've had a shit week. Not going to get into it here because it's egregious and self-serving. We are going to talk wrestling. We are a wrestling podcast, and we got a lot of wrestling. And, man, the end of the year for wrestling companies, all of them, has been busy. Like, the main roster, WWE, has been busy. We just came out of NXT Deadline. TNA's got a show coming up this Friday. We've got Saturday night's main event. AEW has a show coming up at the end of December. Like, the end of the year is like where everybody kind of phones it in. But of all the big three companies, nobody's phoning it in, man. We've got a lot of really big stuff to talk about. And we're going to start with NXT Deadline. We just had that this past week. We had two Iron Survivor matches. We've got a lot to pick apart on this show. This is the part where I kick things over to my co-host, Jason, who customarily and handles the cards. Jason, sir, the floor is yours because I apparently can't English tonight.
That's all right. I customarily, and I'm going to again. So we got your cards, the card rather. So we're just going to jump right into it. So we had, starting off the show, we had a car crash. Started off the show. It was wonderful. We had the Iron Survivor Challenge for the men to determine the number one contender for the NXT Championship at NXT New Year's Evil. Those competitors were Wesley, Javon Evans, Nathan Frazier, Ethan Page, and they were joined by the late entry and ultimate winner, Oba Femi. I think this went exactly the way we thought it was going to. Oba's going to be the surprise man. Oba's going to win. And that's how it happened. And I had a ton of fun because anytime I get to watch Oba Femi wrestle, I'm having a good day. Rob.
Oh, first, I was so happy that my wacky prediction came true. I just kind of sensed it because he had been a ghost since Halloween Havoc. He hadn't just been there at all. And so when they took, you know, when Eddie Thorpe got taken out of the match, I was thinking, well, we haven't seen Oba and, you know, they said a suitable replacement, you know, this might be it here. Cause I figured he's not going back to the North American title. I think he fulfilled whatever it was to fulfill with that. So I thought, well, maybe just because I looked at everybody else who was in the match, I was like, okay, well, I just didn't think they were going to, cause Ethan Page is, you know, he's done his thing with the title. And so I looked at everybody else.
We could have got one more trick Ethan and they would have brought the house down probably. But yeah, I mean, this was the right.
Like, he wasn't going to win the third match.
No, exactly. Right. So I just looked at everybody else and I was like, okay, you know, those other guys are great and all, but there's no suspense if Trick wrestles any of them in a title match, you know. And so I figured, okay, well, this would be a good spot to do this because we definitely don't know what's going to happen now, right?
I mean, right.
So no, it was
Loser leaves town, probably.
Yeah. I thought it was, and then the part where Oba was in the box with Ethan Page, that was just fucking hilarious.
Incredible piece of business on everybody's part.
And look, Ethan Page, I gotta say, he's one of the best signings of the year. And I totally did not expect this out of him. Did not. So, kudos to Hunter, Sean, whoever.
If you nominated Ethan Page as the NXT MVP of the year, I wouldn't fight you on it.
Because honestly, look, he added something to Trick's whole program because they didn't really have anybody for Trick that would, you know, put in
any suspense. That rivalry was awesome.
That was so good.
Yeah, and so he basically made Trick's whole run here the second half of the year. Ethan Page is a big reason why it did so well. He was the perfect foil. And you know, Trick needed a veteran to work with, you know, not another developmental guy because, you know, he's still developing, right? And so I think, you know, Ethan Page is really good for him. I did not know he had all this in him as far as a performer and sports entertainer and all that kind of stuff. So, but he did great. And, I thought the match was fun. My only thing is, Javon, we love you, brother, but please learn how to land.
Yeah.
You got to learn. We want you to be around for 15, 20 years. Okay.
Yeah.
You got to learn how to land. Okay.
That kid scares me every time, and he's awesome. Yeah. Like, let me be clear here: the dude is awesome, and we are not saying this from a hate standpoint. We are saying this from a standpoint.
Tape on this show, we love Javon.
We love you, Bubba. We are saying this from a we love you, and we want to see you.
Yes,
you know, for a good 10, 15, 20 years.
I don't mean as the assistant general manager of NXT for 10 years.
Right. So, but yeah, no, I agree with you, Rob. It's that kid, every time he takes it here, I'm like, oh, fuck, what?
But you know what? That might be part of the magic.
And it is, you know, it's smoke and mirrors, and he may very well be in control of everything that he's doing.
Yeah.
Right. So. Yeah. So, Brad, DJ, did you have any other thoughts on this one?
No, all in all, I thought the match was fun. I did equate, I forget who I was talking to on the app formerly known as Twitter, but I equated it to, you know, somebody was asking, they were in a thread of things. I'm like, look, I'm busy watching Obafemi beat up high school kids right now. So, which is how I equated it. That incredible piece of business. And, you know, Obafemi, I think part of why we haven't seen him since Halloween Havoc is there, at least from an NXT standpoint, Obafemi is an attraction. Like, Oba was training and Oba was rising through the ranks. And we were still, when we were still getting the regular NXT loop through here, Oba was on none of the shows. Like, none of them. And they had everybody. Like, everybody was on these shows.
He's too big for, like, he's too big and too special and also too new for you to stick him in the middle of the card for a couple of weeks.
Right.
Or a couple of months.
With Trick, we got Trick every time they came around. We got Lash Legend every time they came around. We got Carmelo. We got Wes Lee. We got, you know, the bigger players, but Oba was one of the ones that we never saw. And like I said, and he was on TV almost regularly. So I'm like, oh, maybe they'll have Oba this week. No, they didn't have Oba. Well, maybe the next time. Maybe they'll have Oba. No, they didn't have Oba. They have turned him into an attraction, and it's one of those things where you don't want too much because too much of it may spoil the magic of him.
Right, especially when he's so new, and they want him to feel like that special guy. Yeah. I don't know why he wasn't on the road, but the months that he was, so it's been Halloween Havoc, so it's been almost a month, and they did that because they're not just going to stick him in a feud with Hank and Tank just to, you know, dick around for a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. This guy needs to keep doing it. Anytime that Obafemi's not on TV, everyone should be asking, where's Obafemi?
And that's why this was special, even though, you know, Rob predicted it. And if you read the tea leaves, that's exactly, you know, Rob, it's pretty easy to connect those dots as to who it might be, but it still made it awesome. When he came out there.
Only the genius figured it out.
Yep.
And look, he's somebody, look, on the main roster, when his music hits, we should have the same reaction that we did for Brock Lesnar.
Yep.
Like the, oh shit, somebody's about to die.
Yep. And that's exactly what I had on Saturday, you know, or Sunday or whenever it was when the music hit. I'm like,
dude,
these boys are about to die.
Can we take a quick peek into the future and just like, let's just say 4 years from now on Raw, when he's coming out of like Madison Square Garden or something like that, and the whole arena is doing the ooh thing for his entrance.
Yeah.
Like, that's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
So,
walking down the aisle to WrestleMania and everybody's doing that. I mean,
yeah, exactly. Like,
incredible. Like, that and Whoop That Trick. When you get 50,000 people singing Whoop That Trick, man, that's a goosebumps moment, and I can't wait.
Yeah,
it grates on me about 10 minutes into the match. I'll be honest. But for entrances and shit, that's awesome.
Yeah, get it out of your system for the entrances. But once the match starts, shut up.
Yes. when it gets going during the match, I'm like, nah, it just doesn't. It's not the same. Even though that's when the whooping happens. So it's weird. Like, that's when it should be the most appropriate. But I don't know.
I'm good. I got my shit in.
So next up, we had a NXT Underground match, and I'm just glad that NXT Underground is just around as a match type, like, or Underground in general, because, you know, Raw Underground, rest in peace, you know, we loved you, but, you know, for a different timeline, I guess, but the match format is still around, and Lola Vice and Jada Parker had a grand old time. Beating the bag out of each other, and I think we all went 0-for on this match, correct?
We did. We all picked Jada.
I don't think anybody picked Lola to win. Not that it was the wrong decision, but Rob, what did you think about that?
This is actually my favorite match of the night.
I might agree with you.
Because they, like, they, like, beat the shit out of each other. And I guess, and we've talked about Jada Parker, just that, you know, she doesn't do the PC moveset. And we all appreciate that because it's unique. What she does in there is unique. And, like, and she conveys this sense of anger, like, better than, like, there aren't that many. Look, I'm going to get my Cornette badge for the week here, I guess. Look, there aren't that many women wrestlers that they present, that present themselves as just, you know, conveying that sense of, like, anger, right? Or, you know, well, it's not, they're not written to do that. And so it's not necessarily anybody's fault. Yeah. But she conveys that, like, she doesn't talk, like, when she's talking, it doesn't feel like, you know, you're listening to somebody who memorized some lines backstage, right? I mean, you think she really is angry at these people?
Yeah, she's legit in her promos, man.
Yeah, and it's just, and it's a breath of fresh air because again, this is on the writing, this is not on the women, but when they write so many of these women's promo segments that the writers write, it's all snarky, mean girl kind of shit.
Right.
And way too much of it is that. And, or, you know, or the whole, I wanted to do this my whole life and you didn't, you know, and it, like,
and another thing with how Jada puts that, like, across, you don't even realize that she's 5'7" when she's doing stuff like that.
I had no idea. So, and yeah, yeah, and,
like, she just, the or, not, I hate that fucking word, the charisma, the force of personality, you know, the actual definition of charisma, her force of personality when she's channeling that is out of this world.
Yeah, and because it's just like, yeah, you fuck with the wrong person, and I'm gonna whoop your ass. Okay, that's right. How she comes across, and look, I thought they both conveyed that energy through the whole match, and they fought each other like they weren't trying to do a proper chain wrestling sequence at all during any of this.
We're trying to fight. This is a fight.
Because that's another thing I can't stand when it's, you know, street fight, whatever, and then they start doing standing switches and, you know, and all this kind of stuff. I'm like, man, you know.
I can kind of get it depending on who the people are for Raw Underground, because some guys did that stuff. But it's like, okay, this is supposed to be like a UFC Underground fighting. And, like, yeah, I'm just picking guys out of a hat. Daniel Bryan and so-and-so are going to have a more technical match. But these girls were like, no, the other thing they do is in underground UFC fighting leagues, they beat the fuck out of each other. So we're going to do that.
Yeah. This is, it's an underground, the Jean-Claude Van Damme movie with the Kumite?
Bloodsport.
Bloodsport. Yeah. It's a Bloodsport type of match.
Yeah.
And that's what it should be. And that's what this felt like. This, again, it didn't feel like we're trying to figure out who the best wrestler is.
Right.
You know, I hate your guts. I'm going to punch your stinking face. Yeah. And that's what we got. And both of them excelled at that. You know, and you've got the legitimacy of Lola Vice being a legit shoot fighter. So you've got that in there. And then Jada, her entire, as Jason likes to say, force of personality is believable. Like, and she's light years ahead of her class when it comes to that. You know, even if the in-ring stuff is still coming together, which it's good and it's going to get better, she's nailed the legitimacy of the
character. I will say all arrows like promo, character, wrestling, blah blah
the
blah,
look,
blah.
She's got the all, look,
all these arrows are pointing upwards for both these girls.
And I'll say I know you gotta learn, you know, how to do stuff and everything, but I really hope that she leans on the way she works now. And even if she learns how to do all of that other stuff, I hope that she doesn't use it that often.
Yeah.
Because I think her way to stand out, cause look, we got enough. They got 30 plus women on the main roster and they've all, you know, everybody's learned how to, you know, again, do standing switches and whatever. You know, if you want to stand out, then you got to do something different.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Rob, but she feels more like, and granted, she's only, what did you say, 5'7"?
Yeah.
It feels like her style is more of a hoss fight. Like, yes. She's a bit more of a host fight. She's a host fighter, which we love. We love host fights on this show.
Yeah.
Because we're all on the same page, because I was like, this was an imperfect environment, and I'll use the Bloodsport example. In Bloodsport or Street Fighter or Mortal Kombat, you have sumo wrestlers, you have boxers, you have karate fighters, you have MMA fighters. She just feels like a fighter. Like her profession is fighting. It's not wrestling, it's not boxing, it's not MMA.
It's not a niche fight, it's just fighter.
Yeah, exactly. Like for example, Mike, when Mike Tyson, when he actually trained him, was in his prime, he had all the technical stuff down. But when the bell rang, he just charged across the ring and just like
ground and pound.
Yeah, he charged across the ring and just fucking murdered people. And that's the kind of energy that she kind of gives off.
Yeah, like
when the bell rings, she's coming across the ring to kill you.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, this was my favorite match of the night.
It was great. It was great.
Yeah.
The main event might have been my favorite, but we'll get to that. So next up, we had Nathan Frazier and Axiom successfully defending their titles against the No Quarter Catch crew, Miles Bourne and Tavion Heights.
What are we doing?
I want to get off this train.
Can I go first and get it out of the way?
Yes, DJ, go.
The technical aspects of this match.
Yes.
I have just about reached I don't care status with whether or not Axiom and Nathan Frazier are going to break up. Like, I feel like at this point we have dragged, and I don't talk shit about NXT much. I love NXT. I feel like we have dragged this out for 6 months, and it's, part of me is almost expecting a swerve because of how much in your face they've been putting it. Like, they've been rubbing our noses in it. Nathan Frazier is going to turn on Axiom. It's coming. Watch it happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to, like, every week we're reminded they're telling us Nathan Frazier is turning on Axiom.
For a week or two, they did switch it up and it looked like Axiom was going to fuck up Frazier.
Yeah, but.
It's been 6 months of just, yes, you are correct.
Like, I'm almost checked out on caring about it. Like, when it happens, I'm like, okay, great. Now what? Now what are we doing with these guys?
But seriously, this was only a month ago. It re-peaked my interest in this, where I was like, okay, if they do it, it's actually, you know, who snaps is Axiom. That would be very funny. And okay, I guess we landed this plane. But after we got through this match and like, oh my God, they're still the champions. Bob, what are we doing?
I was not particularly interested in this whole thing anyway.
No, but as DJ said, the match itself was good.
From the technical aspect, the match was incredible.
And I hadn't really paid that much attention to Tavion Heights, and he really impressed me.
Tavion Heights is, man, that, what a talent. Holy crap.
Yeah, both those guys are.
Yeah, so look, I don't know how well he speaks, but if he gets down talking at all, I think he can be something, you know.
Well, he just had a hell of a run in Japan.
Yeah, so I think, I think I said this in our chat, that he's what they thought, were hoping Gable Stevenson was going to be. That's the
yes.
down to the amateur background and everything. If he learns, you know, again, I don't know how well he talks now, but if he gets the talking part down, I think he can do a lot of big things, in his career. But yeah, you know, I mean, the faction thing.
And you know what? He's a Pan American gold medalist, so.
Okay. Yeah. So, is it in wrestling or was it like in something else?
It was in wrestling.
Okay. That to me, that was my biggest takeaway from the whole thing, just being impressed with him, because I hadn't really focused on him a whole lot. But you know, the fraction thing, whatever.
We gotta throw some flowers out here. Who's the other kid? I forget his name.
Miles Bourne.
I did not know until this weekend that he's deaf. Now, is he totally deaf, partially deaf? Do we know for sure?
I don't know.
Because uh, I, I know that they basically, they do have to work different. Like he has to be on, the ref has to be on his correct side. And like, there's a whole system that everyone, and he gets, I know all this because obviously when I heard that, I looked it up and he speaks glowingly of how everyone in NXT has been, I don't even know what the proper word is nowadays, but awesome about it. You know, oh yeah, just tell me what to do. Get on this side of you, do whatever. Oh, I'm gotta be facing you so you can read my lips or whatever it is. Everybody from refs to staff to fellow wrestlers, he put over to the moon. So
and awesome. I want to put that over as well on the show. Not only, you know, for the crew involved, but for him. You know, to be able to pull this off and look really good in the ring. Because we were all sitting there questioning, okay, how are they calling spots? And we know that in a lot of these matches, they kind of set things up in the back. They have producers. They talk about, okay, you know, this is, we have 11 minutes and this is what we want to accomplish in 11 minutes. These are the spots we want to do. This is the big moment. This is the high spot. This is the finish. You know, and but in there, you've got to fill in the gaps. And that includes calling spots and, you know, changing things on the fly if you have to. It's incredible that he's able to adjust like that and that they're able to work around, I don't even want to use the word disability, but work around that limitation. I think it's incredible in all aspects.
Yes.
So partially deaf, used hearing aids and an FM system while in high school.
Okay, so he probably had like a cochlear implant
and,
or something.
Well, and I'm just, this is just saying, allowing him to focus clearly on one person and read lips.
Gotcha. Okay.
Because I don't think I've seen him wear anything in the ring because it would just get knocked the heck out.
Right.
So he needs to see clearly one person to concentrate. So now do that in a wrestling ring. My hat is off, young man. Holy
shit. Yeah, when there's so much going on, to be able to pay attention to that and for the ring awareness of the other talent to be where he needs them to be, kudos, man. Hats off. That's incredible.
So, that match was a ton of fun, and by God, I want off of this Faxium train. Moving on, we're going to the NXT Championship match. Trick Williams defended against Ridge Holland, and thank God Trick won. I think I'm pretty much, you know, I've said my piece on Ridge Holland. I'm just out. Yeah. He doesn't click for me. He's not my kind of guy. I've well moved past the accident or whatever and them trying to make that a story. Now at this point, he is just not interesting in the ring or as a character, period. So thank God Trick won. Rob.
Yeah, I felt kind of bad for Trick because this was kind of a throwaway match. And I mean, just the fact that they put it fourth on the card, I mean, that's a tale in itself, you know.
Opening and closing with the Iron Survivors was cool, though.
When you're the world champion, sometimes you gotta, that's part of being world champion. You gotta, you know, you don't get the best, you know, you don't get the top opponent every time. Sometimes you gotta just do this.
It's okay to have a filler match every now and then.
Right, exactly. So it's, you know, this was one of those ones where it's like, okay, well, hey, we sang the song when he came out there, and we sang the song when he finished. Okay, great. You know, when you're world champion, that's what it is. Like,
and that's okay for us as the audience, by the way. Once in a while.
Yeah, I mean,
everything has to be life or death for the champion, and oh my God, your whole reputation and everything is on the line. No, we can just do a good guy versus a bad guy for 1 month.
Yeah, and look, Seth Rollins, sometimes it's a big important match. Sometimes you just come there to sing the song.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, you know, and with Cody, same thing. Some nights it's just, you're just there to go, whoa, when he comes out and, you know, and that's all it is. And it's fine. Or with Roman, some nights you're just there to put the ones in the air, right?
Right.
You know? Rob, that's every night.
You know what I mean? Yes. And with the 14-time women's champion, sometimes you're just there to woo, you know, okay, you know, it happens.
Same, you're there to hear, sing the song.
Yes, and some nights that's what it is, so it's fine, you know.
And you know what? When I'm there in the audience, and I'm just there to sing Sami Zayn's song, and he main events, you know, SmackDown or whatever, or the live event, and Huluva kicks someone's face off, I go home happy as a clam.
Yes.
So,
all right, moving on. We had the main event, and what a main event it was. Women's wrestling happens in NXT. Holy shit. So we had Julia, Sol Ruka, Stephanie Vaquer, Zarya, and Ren Sinclair in an Iron Survivor match to determine the number one contender for Roxanne Perez's NXT Women's Championship, also at NXT New Year's Eve. And, gentlemen, I'm not ready to put it in the same category as what Dijak quarterbacked with that last, you know, the last couple falls of that Iron Survivor. But I'll put it number two for what I've seen. That finish was awesome. Rob?
Yeah, because look, they had two girls' matches on the same show. What are we doing here?
Right. Oh, yeah, Rob had it was like 10 women on the show. He doesn't know how to act.
Come on. No, I mean, no, seriously, though. no, this match was excellent. And, yeah, I said, you know, I like the Underground match better just because, to me, that felt more real. You know, it just did get a little choreography in some spots. But, it was excellently done. To be honest, yeah, I think definitely best of all the women's Iron Survivor matches, however many they've had. And look, you're not gonna top male or female. You're not gonna top what they did with Trick pulling out the last minute last year. That's a once in a lifetime match ending. And so you don't worry about trying to match that or, you know, or surpass that or whatever.
Shades up.
Yeah. And so what, you know, what they did here was this was great what they did. And I know I'd predicted kind of the wacky finish where they all would be tied and that's not what happened, but I do think it's pretty clear path what's coming here. Let's give Ren Sinclair a little credit here because she was in there for only one reason. And
yeah,
God bless her. You know, I mean,
you know what though?
But hang on, she was there to play a certain role. Let's just say that.
And she did it, is what I was getting ready to say.
She, yeah. Yes, five stars.
I haven't been exposed to much of Ren Sinclair. She's relatively new on my radar, but I'll tell you what, I'm going to be keeping an eye out after this weekend because she did when she got hit with the Soul Snatcher 30 seconds after climbing out of the penalty box, she gets back in the ring and immediately goes right back in the penalty box.
Yeah.
It was just well done. Well done all around.
And you know, this
one. And she had it down to the, like, she was exactly where she needed to be when she needed to be there. Obviously, that's the most important thing. So the timing was awesome. But all of her, like, the emotes and everything as everything was breaking down, she was awesome.
And look, this is one of those things where, look, this year she might be the 10 pin take. This year she was the pin taker. Next year she might, you know, if she progresses and develops and all that, you never know. Next year she might be the one winning the thing, you know?
Yeah.
But this, right. It's one of those things where if that doesn't, you know, if something like that happens, it makes for a great career story, you know? So, but she went out there and she did, you know, she did what she was asked. And so, I mean, if I were coaching her or whatever, I would, you know, basically it's pretty obvious. You tell her, look, okay, well, this year they wanted you to do this. So your goal is that next time you're not the one doing it, you know, that you're not the one. That's her bulletin board material.
But even still, like, she's of them. She's relatively new and certainly, in WWE, but definitely, you know, career-wise, because according to this, she only started in 2019.
You look at it like
to be in the ring with them. I don't want to like, you know, it's an honor to be here or whatever. But like, look around the ring at the people they trusted you and said, yes, we need you in the ring to do this with these people who are very important. So hats off, kid.
I liken it to the Chelsea Green situation. You go out, you do the silly stuff, you let the people beat your ass, you be the foil, you know, you be the foil and the slip on the banana peel type stuff, because now we're holding conversations that include Chelsea Green could be a first time, you know, which tournament is she in, the U.S. or the Intercontinental?
U.S.
U.S.
She could be the inaugural Women's U.S. Championship. Chelsea Green, slip on the banana peel. Chelsea Green could be, and we're having these discussions because she's earned that kind of cachet by doing the silly stuff, by being the whipping girl, by being the one that makes the other girls look good. That's how you progress, you know. And if you understand the business like that, you know, you get it. And that's, her role was so important, and she was so good at it.
Right. Unless you're a chosen one. I mean, and at that point, you probably have longer in your career than just WWE. So, yeah that's kind of how it goes. So, and she did awesome, man. So, and yeah, Julia now faces Roxanne Perez at New Year's Evil. I'm excited, and I think this might be it for old Roxy.
Rob, yeah, what do you it's, think? Oh, go ahead.
I do think this is where it comes to an end here, and maybe she sticks around for a rematch afterwards. But yeah, I think and it's time. Look, she said of all the women's champions there, I think she's had the most kind of consistently good performance, she had to defend that title a couple of times against.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
You know, some very green opponents, and
yeah,
so to, you know, entrust, for her to be entrusted with that is a big deal. And so, you know, but it's, I think New Year's Eve it'll be time, and I hope, please, Hunter, please, for the love of God, sit down and write some plans for this girl.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. Don't just. And oh, it's Roxanne from NXT.
Yeah, you know. Don't Kiana James this girl.
No, right. Please don't. Don't do her. Yeah, please don't.
Kiana's injured, so that may be an unfair assessment. But even before that, what was she doing?
Yeah, right. or like Blair Davenport. Don't do that. Okay, just hey, look. I'd rather not see her until after WrestleMania, if it means you actually came up. If it means coming up with something, okay. Yeah. I'd much rather you do that.
And I want to put over Roxanne because this last year with the heel turn with her and the work she's put in, the work they've put in with her, I've done a 180 here. Like when she first came in, I was like, okay, this is Roxy from our Ring of Honor. And she comes in with this internet cachet. And then we got about 3 months in. I'm like, okay, she's fine. Like bell to bell, she's good. Like bell to bell, she's awesome. But everything else that I look for in a pro wrestler, I wasn't seeing. You know, she's out here having great matches, but there wasn't a lot of sizzle to the steak. And now that she's gone on this heel turn, she's showing an aggressive side in the ring, much more aggression in her personality, much more personality in general. I'm a big fan of Roxanne now. And I've done such a 180 there, and I want to give kudos to her and to the NXT brand. Again, this just proves that the developmental works.
Once she kind of figured out the heel turn, because the heel turn was not...
It wasn't like, great to begin with.
It wasn't great to begin with. She was kind of just being a mean girl, making Tweety Bird face. But, like, once she kind of got a more sneer into it, don't get me wrong, she just still does the Tweety Bird face, and it's hilarious.
It's so adorable, though.
It is kind of... like I almost never want her to wait, like... Even if she becomes like a murderous, like gaslighting heel like Roman, I'm
you
still
want to pat the top of her head because she's so tiny.
I know.
No, but it's just like, it's because of the character work that you're talking about. Like, she went from plucky wrestle girl, basically, when she got here, to, like, then they turned her heel, then she was, like, the mean plucky wrestle girl. But then once she really got that aggression in that you were talking about, DJ, that, like, real aggression in her promos, real aggression in her match style.
Yeah, the match style is the aggression.
She crossed a threshold, man, and I was just like, oh, yeah, she's ready for the main roster.
Yep, we're fine, I mean, here.
Because you can get on the main roster, we could just start this train over, and you could get a year out of plucky, you know, punching up Roxanne. So, and then you can, you know, you could do a lot with her. So, she's going to be great. Right. But that brings us to the end of the card. That is it.
Yeah. So. The only other final thought I had, and I wanted to put this out there, I didn't get a chance to say it. Ridge and Trick had a good match. And, you know, I think that gets lost in the sauce of we really don't care about Ridge.
Yeah.
They went out and they had a really good competitive match. And I did want to throw that out there. I didn't want to be dismissive of the match itself because it wasn't the main event, because it felt like a throwaway. I did want to mention that I personally thought they had a good match.
Oh, I'd give it 3 out of 5 stars. Like,
that's okay. A fair assessment.
There we go. So. I have no complaints as far as the match goes. So again, you hit the nail on the head.
All right. Well, that's going to move us out of deadline. We are going to move right into TNA has a show this weekend, and Rob was reminding us of this in the kickoff show. So I think I'm going to let Rob take the floor here and talk a little bit about TNA. What do we got going on Friday night, Rob?
So TNA's final event of the year is called Final Resolution, and it is Friday night. And there are, I'm not going to go through the whole card here, but there are a couple of matches here that I thought what we're pointing out. Okay, so Jordynne Grace is taking on Rosemary, and by the looks of things, Jordynne Grace is on the, you know, the put folks over on the way out the door tour now. She's done that a couple of times already. So we fully expect to see her on February 1st. You know, it just matter what number she's going to draw. And
I'm going to plant my flag 19.
Okay. And, so I think she'll probably spend some time in NXT first. But yeah, this has been, you know, this has been great this year for her. She had to basically carry that whole division because we've talked about this before, how many people they lost at the beginning of the year. So this is kind of her swan song, what from the looks of things in TNA. And so I expect to probably put Rosemary over there. And the other one that I really wanted to pay attention to here was for the TNA World Championship, you know, Nick Nemeth, you know, formerly Dolph Ziggler, has been the TNA World Champion for a while, but he is defending against one AJ Francis, who some of y'all may remember as Top Dollar. And AJ is from Maryland. He went to the University of Maryland, so I got to put him over. But he's another guy. You know, we talk about people who get released from WWE, and the question is okay, what are you going to do with it now? Right? Like, what are you going to do now? And so he's been in TNA all year. He's worked some other places too. He's one of these guys who has really made the most of this thing here. And so now, look, I don't expect him to win the title, but the fact that he is challenging for the world championship of a major wrestling company, you know, a year or so after getting released, that's a big deal. And I just wanted to give him, you know, give him props for doing that. And
you have to. The guy went from SmackDown Punchline to wrestling for TNA World Heavyweight Championship. And that's, you know, he's put in the work, he's put in the effort. And you like to see it. For as big a WWE shills as we are, we also support people finding success when they leave or if they get released. And he's found that.
Yeah. And while we're on that subject, you know, we got to, you know, mention Mustafa Ali, same thing. I mean,
yeah.
Well, I mean, both those guys are killing it this year. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Mustafa has just been incredible. And even you got to give it where it's due. And Nick Nemeth.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
You got to say it. You got to throw his name in there too, because again, this is a guy who's, you know, over 40 and still managed to go into TNA. He's putting in incredible work. Yeah. And, you know, he's actually, I think he's helping elevate that entire division. I think he knows what TNA has. I think he believes in what they have there. And I think he believes that he could be the guy to lead that younger talent into a better plane of existence.
Amen. Good for AJ. Didn't he also play for the Commanders?
He played for them in the Bengals. So yeah, he played for Commanders here. He played at Maryland here. He's from here. So
yeah, you know. He played for the Pats too. Wow, that's right. There you go.
All right. Well, we are going to move on to our last segment, but before we do, we're going to take a quick commercial break. And before we do that, I want to invite you to go over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. That's right. It's the point in the show where I hawk t-shirts. We are a podcast with merch. We are starving artists. We are looking for money. We're not even going to lie to you. It is the holidays. It's time to buy some stuff. People like t-shirts. You like t-shirts. Go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Jesus, Greg's going to shoot me. Chair shot with an O.
Well, I just want everyone to know this whole run was a great show. As we try to find a new home other than
we made it 222 episodes and DJ literally just shat the bed. /thechairshot. Look at, browse, peruse, if you will, all the t-shirts that are available from your favorite Chair Shot Radio Network podcast, including this one, As Long As We Exist, the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. Go pick one up. The starving artist on this show will thank you. Your body will thank you if you pick one up in soft style, prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. We're going to go to commercial. When we come back, we are going to be talking the return of a legend. The return of an iconic TV show, Saturday night's main event. Got a lot of good throwbacks going into this one. We're going to break it all down on the backside of the commercial.
This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com. Bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
And we are back. We are talking Saturday night's main event. And this is going to be a fun one to talk about because Rob and I, with our good friend EJ Ernest from the Earnestly Speaking podcast, went down a watch-along rabbit hole with Ernest for a while on his podcast, and Saturday night's main event was our focus. Ernest loves that era of WWE programming. Rob and I grew up on that era. We watched probably the very first Saturday night's main event, and we watched the very last one when it finally aired, WWE bringing it back. And what I like about this is they're bringing back a lot of the old school feel. We've got Jesse the Body coming up on, going to be on commentary. They just announced today that we've got several Hall of Famers that are going to be present that night to include, what was that list, Rob, that I threw out there? We got Jimmy Hart's going to be there. One of my unsung heroes of the golden era, Tito Santana. I think Greg the Hammer Valentine was going to be there. Who else, Rob? Who else did I throw in there?
Coco Beware. Jimmy Hart and Coco Beware. And
the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase.
Yes. So let's just hope whoever is in charge of payroll, please make sure Coco has his money.
Okay. He better have his money in hand. Coco, yes. Better.
Quick, yes. Fast, in a hurry.
Yes. So there's many a story about him not playing around with the money, okay?
Well, and Rob shared a match in our little chat thread here with Jason. I've seen it before. I don't think Jason's ever seen it. Coco was not one to fuck with.
No.
Right? That dude wasn't tall as nothing, but you better take that dude seriously because he will shoot on your ass.
Yeah, don't let Frankie and all that stuff fool you now, okay?
Now, Coco was a shooter.
Yeah.
I was amazed that gentleman is still with us.
I don't know if that dude ever wrestled another match after that. Coco whooped ass.
He beat the dog shit out of that. Lord.
It was incredible, man. But the other thing that they're doing, and they teased this, was either today or yesterday, Cody Rhodes, who is facing Kevin Owens in what I assume to be will be the main event. Jason's going to handle the card in a minute. Bringing back for one night only one of my favorite versions of the WWF title, the Winged Eagle belt. I have the replica sitting over my shoulder in the background there. I love that belt, and I'll have it proudly over my shoulder on Saturday watching this show. Jason, let's kick it over to you. Why don't we get into the card, and then we can talk about our excitement levels for this.
Oh, jeez. You guys, the winged eagle. I don't know, man. But seriously, does that dude get, like, does Cody get cherries on top of his chocolate sauce, on top of his ice cream, on top of his sundae, on top of his pie, on top of his whatever? Like, okay, man, we get it.
Cody anyway. Is the George Washington of wrestling. He gets the entire cherry tree.
Jesus, Mary and Joseph. All right. and also, it should be noted that this is like the old Saturday night's main event. This is on the national broadcast channel.
Yes. This is on, it's on broadcast television, which is incredible.
So it's going to be on NBC. So it's going to be a ton of fun. First up, in the card I've got is we're going to have the tournament final for the WWE Women's United States Championship. And we have Bayley and Chelsea Green, and the third person will be either Meechan or Tiffany Stratton. That will be determined tomorrow as of this recording on SmackDown.
Crossing my fingers for Meechan.
I think Meechan, because I don't think Meechan or Tiffany is going to win, so I would hope they don't also have Miss Money in the Bank in there. But anyway, so yeah, hopefully it's Meechan and Chelsea Green and Bayley. And we've been talking about this for months. First champion Chelsea, second champion Naomi, or vice versa. So we can't do the vice versa. So first champion Chelsea, here we come. Rob?
Yeah, look, I'm 100% team Chelsea here for this. I will accept no other result. And at least not for, look, we love Meechan, and I do want her to get a turn with it at some point. But right now, look, everything is, Chelsea's done such a great job this year, and everything has fallen, everything has clicked, everything's fallen into place. I just think it would be, this is one of those moments where you just need, you if you don't do it, you might be missing something here.
We will care with Meechan as United States champion. But will the casual audience care about the secondary title holder, Meechan?
And that's the honest answer to that, isn't it?
And that's fine for when she's the fifth champion, sixth champion, whatever. We want to get this belt off the ground so that it's on every show from here till Kingdom Come. So let's do this right. Especially like, cause they're doing the Intercontinental Championship across the hall. Like, oh man. I just hope everything doesn't get lost in the sauce, and I hope we don't dilute this thing. Because this is a cool way to raise up the floor for the women. It's not a cool way to just have an excuse to get one more 4-minute women's match on the card.
Exactly.
So,
So I'm firmly team Chelsea Green here to come out of this thing. And that's, again, that's the only result I'm going to accept here.
All right, fair enough. DJ?
Yeah, I'm team Chelsea Green here. While I love Bayley, and I don't think Bayley would be a bad decision here either. Meechan is your, like you said, anywhere from third on down the line, she's definitely a championship holder. But for something that you're trying to get off the ground with casuals, unfortunately, it's not Meechan, and I don't mean any disrespect by that, because she's much more respected in the bubble than out.
And also, in the last 3 months, who would you say WWE television has invested the most in?
Bayley, Chelsea Green.
Chelsea Green or Meechan?
Chelsea Green.
Like, sorry, that it just, you know, the facts go along with our ramblings, unfortunately. The team Chelsea Green, all three of us, I guess. Anybody else with anything on this before we move on?
Nope.
All right. So, next up, we have a singles match for the Women's World Championship. Liv Morgan is defending against Io Sky. I think we're just here for a filler match, but there's nothing wrong with that, as we just got done talking about a few minutes ago. It's okay for the bad guy to beat the good guy once in a while. Just here we go. And I think that's what's going to happen here. Liv is going to retain. Actually, we started with Rob last time. Let's go with DJ.
This is my shenanigans match of the night. There's no way Liv beats Io clean. I also wouldn't be surprised if there's a screwy finish here.
That's fair. You think Dom Dom gets involved, and do we think Rhea gets involved?
Absolutely, across the board on both of those.
All right. Rob?
Yeah, I think Liv retains and then gets flattened by Rhea Ripley probably afterwards or something along that line, nature.
Sign me up. All right, next up, we have a triple threat match for the World Heavyweight Championship. Gunther is defending against Finn Balor and Damian Priest. So once more to the well. I mean, Gunther's going to retain because these two are going to get in each other's way. And it's, you know, it. Okay, we're back on the Finn and Damian train, I guess, which is fine, I guess. Rob?
Yeah, I think so. I think Gunther retains here. Like I said, yeah, I think if they hadn't made a triple threat, my prediction was going to be just Damian come out there and costing Finn the way Finn cost him a couple of weeks ago. But yeah, this is tailor made for Finn and Priest to be so worried about beating the shit out of each other and Gunther takes advantage and holds on.
DJ?
Yeah, I think that's the safe bet here. I don't think you have any major title change in this one. I do expect a good match with all three guys involved. I think this is going to be, this might end up being your work rate match of the night.
Yeah.
Well, that could definitely be true. All right, next up we have a good old-fashioned grudge match with Sami Zayn, Drew McIntyre. This is a candidate for a match of the night, depending on how long they go and what they get up to. But I look for Drew to win here because, you know, he just got back. You know, maybe we're just going to send him down another path of insanity, which would be hilarious. So if he lost, that would be awesome. So I don't know, but I think Drew's going to take this one. DJ, what do you think?
Yeah, I think Drew McIntyre retains. And I agree. This could actually very well be the match of the night. And, you know, I know I said the last one was your work rate match, but seeing these two in the ring, I don't know. Have they had a one-on-one match?
They probably have.
It's not one that I remember off the top of my head.
Yeah.
So yeah, I look for this one to be fun and I look for Drew to beat him.
Cool. All right. Probably gave your piece, right? No.
Oh, no, I did not. No, I did not. You skipped
okay,
me.
Go.
Well, I don't know who's going to win, but I do think, Saturday Night's main event in the past was known for, like, being a show where somebody does a stretcher job or gets the shit kicked out of them really bad or some type of injury angle or something. I think if that's going to happen tonight, if that's going to happen on this show, I think Sami Zayn is the candidate.
Yeah. And you can do that with Sammy, and it'll further along the unhinged Drew McIntyre.
Yeah. So, I mean, I could easily see a thing where maybe Sammy gets a roll-up, and then Drew just snaps and just, again, puts him in the hospital afterwards.
At that point, though, you might get the bloodline.
Well, yeah. I think...
The Usos. You might get the... Timu bloodline trying to come and pick the bones, and that's how, I don't know.
Yeah, so I mean, there's a lot of different things that could happen there, but I think definitely this ends with Sami Zayn laid out some kind of way, one way or another.
Yeah.
Fair enough. All right, and then in the main event of the evening, holding the, I guess, WWF World Championship, is going to be Cody Rhodes, and he is defending against Kevin Owens. I don't know. Now that they've done the stupid belt, I don't think so anymore. Because, you know, is that how we're doing the pictures? Like, which belt is he going to hold if Kevin were to win? So now I'm just like, I don't think my dream literally died with that stupid belt. I just don't see it. Because what's he going to do? He's going to be in the pictures with that belt and then come back with the gold one? Maybe. But I just think this, you know, Kevin's gonna lose here, unfortunately. Rob?
Okay. Probably this is another one of those where we think, you know, it'd be a really good idea if he did win and then he lost it back at the Royal Rumble. It'd be a really good idea. It'd be
a nice way to shake things up. It is a really good idea. It is actually an excellent idea.
It'd be a nice way to shake things up and all that type of thing. But. Also, we know that Triple H is not prone to that type of thinking.
No.
And so that it is more than likely that Cody's going to win. And at most, you might, maybe there's a DQ thing or something, but probably not. And also given
that this main event on TV.
Yeah. I mean, so just, I think, we're going to play safe here.
Yeah. DJ?
I think we are in a situation now where Cody Rhodes could take a quick loss. And it doesn't have to be a long reign by Kevin Owens. And I say that only because Cody Rhodes' story was always, I want to do the thing that my dad couldn't do. And there are two things that Dusty couldn't do. And I was thinking about this earlier today, and I was literally, while you guys were talking, did my research. We did an episode of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast several years ago before we joined the Chairshot Radio Network. And I talked about the championship reigns of different champions throughout history of different companies. And one of the ones was Dusty Rhodes. And Dusty was very polarizing to me because when I think Dusty Rhodes and I think World Heavyweight Champions, I think of a guy who was world champion several times for several hundred to 1,000 days. And that wasn't the case. I looked up Dusty's cumulative time as NWA World Heavyweight Champion was 107 days. Cumulative.
How many reigns?
Three.
Yeah.
Over three reigns, 107 days. Cody has not only won the championship that Dusty couldn't win, he's also surpassed in one reign Dusty's entirety as a world heavyweight champion over three reigns. So he's already accomplished two goals. He's already cemented his legacy as a Rhodes, and he surpassed what his father was able to do as a world heavyweight champion.
Say it correctly. He finished the story.
He finished the story. He finished the story, and he added to the story by holding on to his championship in one reign longer than his father ever did over three. And I've said on this show multiple times, and I'll say it again, you cannot be a multi-time champion until you lose. And Cody is definitely a guy who can be a multi-time champion, but he has to lose. I think he loses this weekend.
So now let me just interject really quickly. Are you saying that it's okay when the children have a longer championship kind of pedigree or more championships or whatever than their parent did? Is that what you're saying?
Totally okay with
yes. It. Yes. We're totally okay with Roman's career surpassing his father's, he couldn't break out of the tag team division. Of course, that's what you're referring to, Rob, right? Right.
Sure, Jason. That's exactly what Rob meant.
Okay. So here's the thing with the winged eagle.
Well, I was talking about Randy Orton having, being world champion that Cowboy Bob never got, Yeah.
So here's the thing with the
winged eagle. Kurt Hennig was never a tag team champion. Curtis Axel was a tag team champion. I don't know. I just made that up.
I hope they modernize it a little bit. Like, add an extra shine to the gold plating. Maybe make it a little bigger or something like that. Because as much as
I want it to be the exact.
Me, hold on, as much as it galls me to say, that belt is starting to look like part of Cody's costume. And that's going to look weird. So I think you gussy it up a little bit. But that's just one man's.
No, thing. I want the original thing, man. I want it to look like the one that's sitting over my shoulder.
Oh, jeez.
I'm totally repping. I'm throwing that thing over my shoulder on Saturday night. I'm going to sit there the whole night with it.
My goodness.
It's going to be great.
Is it?
It's going to be awesome. Win, lose, or draw, I get to see the Winged Eagle on Saturday night's main event for the first time in, 30 years? When did they retire that belt, Rob?
Oh, man. I think when Austin won, I think.
Yeah, it was when Austin won it. When Brett lost to Shawn and then Shawn lost it to Austin, I think they retired it right after that. So that would have been 97 or 8.
Something like that.
Yeah. So we're looking at 27 years now. That belt's been retired. I'm ready.
And I just hope, I hope Jesse goes full Jesse Ventura if Cody wins and acts the same way he used to act when Hogan would win, and he would just be outraged and you know, incredulous and all of that.
Who's doing the play-by-play? Is it Michael Cole?
I'm assuming.
I mean, if Michael Cole's on play-by-play at Jesse's commentary, we are in for one hell of a ride on Saturday night.
All right. I think that is it for the thing there. I think anybody else have any last-minute thoughts on Saturday night's main event? I hope the set's cool. I think it's going to be, but
I'm getting word that they're going with a retro type of set and a retro type feel. I hope they have the retro music, to be honest with you.
I hope they do retro, like, placard nameplates. I hope they do retro, like, everything.
Yeah, absolutely, yes.
And I hope people watch. More than anything else, I hope people watch. Because I remember when this thing came out, it always felt special. Because you got to remember, when Rob and I used to watch this, this was like, it was almost like a free pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Because it was adjacent to the regular TV show. Big things usually happened. It usually played into the bigger storylines that were on TV. As Rob was saying, you always got some type of big stretch or angle. Somebody got injured. There was a big storyline to come out of it. And, I mean, hell, they did the thing with Hogan and Andre. They did that on a Saturday night's main event.
Yeah, and I swear.
That was a big fucking deal back then.
Yeah,
and I swear you guys have what made me watch a match that was like, haha, let's make Jason squirm. I swear we watched one that was on Saturday Night Main Event.
It's possible.
Like, it was fucking violent.
But
like, the situation, I didn't mean to cut you off, Rob, but the situation with Hogan and Andre, where Andre quote-unquote beat Hulk Hogan for the World Heavyweight Championship, that was a big fucking deal that happened on Saturday Night's Main Event, which is why I don't think it's outside of the realm of possibility that Kevin Owens beats Cody. Because you can do big things here.
Because I think, on the one hand, I think that because it's the first time back and all of that, that you don't want it to just be a humdrum, you know, kind of thing where nothing happens, you know?
Yeah.
But then, of course, the question is, but then it becomes, okay, well, which thing are we going to have happen?
Drew and Sammy's not a thing. You could see that one going either way.
The only big thing you can do that gets people talking is Kevin Owens beating Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
When you look at that card, that is the biggest stakes thing that you have going.
And it's because I think so. And I think that, yeah, I think. So that's why I think it's not out of the question. You know, again, I wouldn't bet on it, but I don't think it's out of the question.
You're not bringing up DraftKings for Saturday night's main event, Rob?
No. Good news,
DJ.
If you're actually betting money on wrestling, you need to call the hotline. Okay.
If you throw 20 bucks or 50 bucks at WrestleMania or you know, 20 bucks at the Royal Rumble, have fun. God bless. But like, if you're going every pay-per-view and whatnot, brother, seek the hotline.
If you're putting down a four-match parlay Saturday night, it's milk, okay? All right.
Okay, man.
One thing, and then we can kick this around for just a moment before we get out of here. We've talked, and we're not going to get too deep down this road because I don't want to go down there. We've compared the Triple H booking era to the Vince booking era, and one area of criticism that I have with Triple H is that right now he seems to be playing things kind of safe, whereas Vince was a little more risky in his booking. And I'd like to see Triple H get a little more risky. Don't be afraid to challenge yourself. Don't be afraid to challenge the audience. And I think you have a real opportunity to do this here.
Well, and also think of it this way. Come January, that title, I mean, like, you know, come the Royal Rumble, that title is going to be some arrangement between Cody, Dwayne, and Roman.
Yeah.
I think. And made like dark horse solo for 2 weeks until something stupid happened, you know, and everybody hates it and you're supposed to hate it for 2 weeks. But other than that, like that thing's wrapped up. Yeah. So this is the last kind of chance we get to do something fun
or, for the next 4 months. Yeah.
Not that that stuff's not going to be fun. I'm going to be happy as a pig of shit, but you know,
we have a real opportunity to do a great thing here. And I hope Hunter does it.
And we do, I mean, Kevin, when they did the retro pictures, Kevin did get a picture with the winged eagle. So even as I was like, what do you do about the pictures? Maybe that's the point. I don't know. And he eats a mark, so he's probably, oh, I get to win the winged eagle? Okay. So.
All right. I've got nothing else, guys.
I am good.
Oh, yeah, same here.
Okay, well, let's get out of here. Let's go home. I am going to go back around the room here and thank my co-host, starting with the host of the Rob the Genius podcast, Rob, sir. We had a good show tonight. We kept it short and sweet and tight. I like it.
Yes, and so good way to handle this week. And so everybody just, whichever show you're watching, whether you're watching, you know, TNA or WWE or both, hope everybody enjoys it. Everybody has fun.
And Bucky's tag team partner, Jason, sir, thank you.
Thank you. This was wonderful.
This was wonderful. I talked to my guys in the pre-show. I had a bad week. Not going to go down that road with the listener, but I want to thank not only the listeners, you guys, for tuning in like you always do, my co-host for helping me get my head out of my ass. You know, I was in a slump. I texted him on Tuesday, said, look, I don't know if I'm in this week. I'm in a bad headspace, but, you know, in talking with them throughout yesterday and today, I'm like, no, I need my voice. I need my moment. I need my talking. I need my wrestling. And this has been cathartic as it always is. Want to thank my boys. Want to thank you, the listener, for always tuning in, for always listening to us, for supporting us here on the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. Remember, you can call it pro wrestling. You call it sport. Whack.
I got to do that thing where, like, you know, at the end of the pay-per-view where, like, the WWE Entertainment logo pops up. And then, like, that something else happens, like CM Punk comes back, and oh, yay. But, we need to talk about the end of Dynamite last night. Toni Storm is back, and she's back in her rocker girl outfit anyway. I don't know what her character is going to be, because she just came out after and stared down Mariah May.
It was a bit ambiguous.
Yeah, but, yeah. I mean, so, but just at first sniff, whatever you want to call it, like, I love the idea of her going back even a little bit to that character, because as fun as that Toni Storm, like that
timeless Toni,
timeless Toni run was, this makes kind of, it already makes sense and she hasn't even explained it. So I'm just like, hey, it just works. So
I love Rockstar.
Someone we've always loved, and then DJ, I was about to say, I know you love Rockstar Toni Storm, so.
I did, but what I'd like to see is timeless Toni Storm playing Rockstar Toni Storm.
Yeah, I think we very well may get something like that, because it's
that would be awesome.
Yeah,
that would be killer.
And you know what? I mean, even if she just goes back to basics for a little while, like just the rain, like all the experience she got doing timeless, and like all the rope she got and all that stuff. She's going to play that character very well. She's going to play that character probably with a character more than just, hey, I like to come out and do the devil horns and my music is good. And look at me, I like rock and roll. Like,
yeah.
So to see her kind of get a second chance with that character would be cool too. So the possibilities.
Okay.
Since you brought up Toni Storm, let's
not. Oh, no. Ladies and gentlemen, it has been a wonderful time. You can call it pro wrestling. You can call it sports entertainment. You can call it whatever you want, but call it in the ring, and we're out of here until next week. Mute him.
Two guys to the face. That's not
okay. I'm not even going to end with anything. We're out of here. Thank you and good night.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles,
discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store. Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
It can get lonely climbing Mount McKinley, so to entertain myself, I go to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, I can play hundreds of online casino-style games for free, like online slots, bingo, slingo, and more. Plus, I get a daily login bonus. It's just too bad that up here, I don't have anyone to share my excitement with. Woohoo!
Live the Chumba life anytime, anywhere. Play for free now at ChumbaCasino.com. VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.